You know, this is truly the season when we can express a time of encouragement to one another, to those that we don't have to just encourage those that we know. We need to learn how to encourage those that the Spirit just speaks to our hearts to about encouraging. I was encouraged today by a lady when we went to lunch who, she moved down from New Jersey, and she was talking about how she had just continued to see this homeless, this street person, and she said, you know, something was just telling her she needed to do something. I wanted to interject who that person was, but at that moment I didn't know exactly where she was at, so I didn't, but I just listened to her story, and she was saying how she asked her to go out. She wouldn't give her money, but she asked her if she'd like a nice free hot meal. And of course, you have to be, they're kind of sensitive in that way because, you know, the way they're dressed, and, you know, they don't want to go in some place and to offend them. And she says, well, you know, you don't have to worry about that because I'll go in and sit with you. And so she did. She took her out, and they had a conversation and talked, and she encouraged her. And she had driven by again and saw this lady sitting there, and she just felt compelled to go back and ask her, can I get you something? Do you need something to eat? She said, you know what? I'd just like a can of snap peas. That's all. Just a can of snap peas. So she bought her a can of snap peas and a bunch of things that she could go with the snap peas, you know. But as she talked, it was evident you could see from what you heard how it encouraged this lady that was just on the street. Not asking, not begging for anything, just sitting there. And I thought, you know, how we can be encouraging to someone around us. It fit right along in with the sermon that I have prepared tonight about encouraging words, because we don't understand what kind of an impact they can have in a person's life. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, we find Jeremiah writing a letter to the exiles, to the people that have been swept away by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And, you know, things weren't real encouraging for them at that moment. And they had lost their home. They had lost their freedom, basically. They had lost everything that they know. Not that they weren't warned, but they were pretty down and out, pretty depressed. And I like this chapter because of what this letter says. Not only as Jeremiah writes it to the people, the exiles, but this is such, can be such an encouragement to us as we think about encouraging somebody else. You know, we do have the greatest message of encouragement, and that's Jesus Christ. We have the greatest message to give and bring about hope. I was kind of browsing through Facebook, and Brother Ed put a thing on there from Jace Robinson, who is one of the sons of Phil Robertson, who is of the Duck Dynasty group. And it's he said that a lady called him, and the Spirit just prompted him to begin talking to her about Jesus Christ. And she never said her name. She just listened. This conversation went on for 6 hours as he shared with her. And she just kind of hung on what it was he was saying. And during the middle of that, she just kind of let out a hoop and holler as he, you know, as he told her about the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that this is our hope. This is her hope. And it was not in his cards planned out for him to do this, but God provided the avenue and he fulfilled the obligation to sharing good news with this woman. He says, I don't know what the end of the story is. I have no clue. says, we went to that point and then we hung up. And so I don't know what the end of the story is, but God does. And you know, we don't know what the end of the story may be when we encourage somebody. We may never see them again. Even with our own church family, as we encourage one another, we may not ever know what the end result is. But that's not the reason we do it. We do it out of the heart of a heart that loves Christ. That's why we do it. And I think, you know what, if we haven't done those kind of things before, this is the perfect season to begin doing it. And then we can just carry it on through January, February, and the rest of the year till we get back to December again. And then we get renewed in doing it all over. But as we look at this passage, I want us to take a look at, we know that they had difficulties. We know that things were not good for them. And so as we look at this, there's three things that I want us to see in this passage. First of all, I want us to see God's plan. God has a plan for His people. Even if those people are disobedient, God still has a plan. God also has a promise to His people. He has a promise. And thirdly, God always has a purpose behind what He does. It is never like we do, just an afterthought or a forethought. God has a direct purpose. As you and I were known of our salvation from the foundations of the earth, that's what the Bible tells us. He knew we were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. He also has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us from the foundations of the earth. But as we look at this, I want to share these three things with you. And let them be of an encouragement to you that you may grasp them to be encouraging to someone else. And the first one is, we need to look at God's plan. We need to grasp this. We need to be a blessing where we are. It may not be where we want to be, but you know what? It's where we are. And we need to be a blessing. He says here, beginning in verse 4 of the 29th chapter, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. Because as much as Jeremiah is credited for this letter, the letter is influenced by the Lord God Himself. This is a letter that the Lord told Jeremiah to inscribe in his hand, but it is from God, okay? So as we think about encouragement and encouraging, and maybe some of us here tonight need encouragement, understand that God sees and knows exactly where we are. So he goes on further to say here, he says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, and that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare." I found that to be pretty profound, actually. Pray for Babylon. Pray for Babylon's welfare, because where Babylon's welfare is, there's where your welfare is going to be. Is that really outside of our own nation? I don't think so. We need to be praying for the welfare of our nation so that we can have the confidence of the welfare that we have within this nation. But here they are, exiles. They're not at home. They're in a strange land. He says, you know what? Be a blessing where you are. Go on and carry on as if you were in your own land. Marry, have children, plant gardens. This is a sign that you are in obedience to what God is doing in your life, even though you're not at home. Folks, think about this for just a moment. We might rather be sometimes any place else but where we are. But what if it's God's plan for us to be where He has us? He wants us to carry on with business as usual as a believer right where we are. First of all, to be blessed on ourselves. He's talking about them being blessed if they will carry out these instructions. And they will also bless a nation. We know that from Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't commit to the idolatry that they were trying to be forced to commit to. They didn't care if they died. But they wouldn't bend or bow to this 90-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, these words are still encouraging to them because they believed God had them right where they were to be. You know, God has a plan in our lives, even if there's tragedy in it. When tragedy strikes, and it does all families, when it strikes, how many of us keep these words in mind instead of being overwhelmed and swept up in sorrow, thinking, you know what? God's got a plan in this situation that I'm in this tragedy that I've been placed in, that I have right now. Not that He caused it specifically, but circumstances do, other things do. But my thing is, I want us to understand that God's got a plan through it, that we can get to the other side. Amen? That has always been my goal in life, more so now than ever before, but I understand it. God's got a plan, and I don't want to deviate from that plan. Doesn't mean that I know it all, but I can take encouragement from these words to say, you know what? Continue doing what you're doing. Continue on doing what you're doing. Take care of your grandchildren. Do with your grandchildren. Be impacting into your children's life. Be continuing in the work that I have called you into in your church, in the work and the service that you began. Continue there. Continue. You see, that's where God's plan is. He wants us to be a blessing right where we are. And we are so gripey and complainy sometimes. You know, you've all heard that expression, or I first heard it back as a kid when I was in Iowa. You know, you'd gripe if you were hung with a new rope. Well, I probably would, not that because I wouldn't want to be hung necessarily, but that's just the way people are. It wouldn't matter. You know, they could have everything that they want and they're still going to gripe and complain. Why do Christians do that? Why are they so unhappy where they are? Why are they so, you know, people are, they get in churches and they're only happy for a little while, then they begin to just find things to nitpick at. Become so unhappy. Did you hear God say anything? Well, I want you to nitpick here in Babylon. I want you to find things to complain about. He said, no. Be where you are. I've put you there for a purpose. And the more I read this and the more I thought about this, not only was it discipline for their disobedience to God, but God, through them, did a mighty work in Babylon. You know that? I truly, honestly believe, if you read the book of Daniel, I believe Nebuchadnezzar came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Lord God. I do. I mean, nobody could be as humbled as he was and not be changed. And when he came out of that 7-year stint of being an animal, that changed his life. He was a very cruel man up until the time that they, if you do any research about him. But then they begin to say he got soft. No, he didn't get soft. He got changed. And you know why? It was because of the influence and the impact of those that God led into exile. First of all, because they were being idolatrous and disobeying. And second of all, he gave Babylon a chance for some to be redeemed. And to me, that's the key. God's plan and that blessing is that we might be influential in the salvation of those around us. Not everybody. Not everybody's going to be saved, but there will be some that you impact. There will be. And that's God's plan. I shared with you this morning, that's God's plan. When we give to missions, we give to Lottie Moon or Annie Armstrong or any of those things, we are fulfilling God's plan for the work that He has called us as believers and Christians to do. So, when we think about this, wherever we are, in God's plan, let's do one thing. Let's seek His face in order for us to find His peace. Amen. Seek His face that we might find His peace. That's the first thing. The second thing is He talks about His promise in verse 10 and then 12 through 14. Let's take a look here. He says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Now, if you go on further, you find that after that 70 years, there were many of God's people that stayed right where they were. They didn't even go back to Israel. They didn't even go back to their homeland because they were established right where they are. They took God's word. It didn't say, you have to go back. He opened the door that any that would want to could go back. Okay? God's promises are never lacking. Please understand that. His promise for our salvation is not lacking. His promise for our strength through the power of His Spirit is not lacking. His promise for wisdom in those who seek His face is never lacking. God is never found lacking. We can see in verses 12 through 14, He says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." After that 70-year period, they can call upon His name and He will hear them and respond to them. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." That's quite a promise. After 70 years, God promised to bring them back to their homeland and restore to them all the things that they had lost. And you read Scripture and you'll find out God did just that. God doesn't break promises. Man breaks promises. I believe that's one of the reasons that Scripture says, "Let your yea be your yea and your nay be your nay." Don't make promises that you cannot keep. And if you do, you better keep it. But God, on the other hand, can fulfill every promise that He's ever made, and He will. People that don't believe, all they have to do is go back through Scripture and see the hundreds of promises that God has already made and fulfilled. If He has done all of those things, and they can equate those promises to historical fact. If they don't want to believe it just in the Word, it is a historical fact. If God has fulfilled all those promises, what in the world makes them think He's not going to finish them out to the end? For that matter of fact, what about us? Trusting God all the way, the full distance. If you believe His blood washed away your sins, and your belief and faith in Him has saved you, then why do we doubt so many times God's caretaking of us? God's watch care over us? We do. And I don't exclude myself from that. There are times I've wondered if God saw me, if He knows what I'm dealing with, if He knows how I am hurting or the stress or the things that I may be dealing with. God, are you even there? this passage encourages me to tell me that He is always there. He is always watching down on us, and that His promise to me is going to one day be fulfilled. Amen. And I want to encourage you with that, and I want you to encourage others with that. This letter is only inscribed by Jeremiah, but given forth by God. And if God promised it to His people then, He promises it to His people here, today, and now. So we need to, I want us to grasp this as we live it out. Now, the idea is that He wants the people to know there's a better day coming. I know there's a better day coming to you. You bet there is. That better day's coming is when the Lord returns and we're all taken into glory. But let's remember to be a blessing where we are. Let's remember to let God's plan be fulfilled in our lives right where we are. For as long as He leaves us there, and as for as long as we draw breath. And then we will be encouraged by His promise that one day He is going to call it quits for us. We've served, worked long enough. I can't help but continue to think about Lottie Moon and the suffering and the anxiety and the hardships this lady had in serving the people of China. Now, when I say, you know, when I say there was thousands, if I remember correctly, it was like 2,000 people had come to the Lord by the end of her life. Now, her life there was like 39 years. Now, that's a lot different than what we see in those big crusades today when 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 people coming at a time. Can you imagine 39 years and to have reaped 2,000 souls for the kingdom? But she knew that was just the beginning. Amen? It was just the beginning. Don't be discouraged. She fought for those people. She fought for missionaries to come. She had policy changed because she was a woman. And she knew how to write those letters. And she said, you know what? If women over here can do this, what are you men doing in Virginia? Basically, paraphrase, that's what she said. And you know, it made them think. Here they are, sitting in their parlor rooms, enjoying life. And here is a handful. There was 8 total in China doing all the work. Many of them, her own sister, Edania, she had to come back early because she was a broken woman physically. Worked from way before sunset to sun up to way after sunset with these people, sharing, living, and giving them the gospel message. It really puts me to shame to think about the commitment and dedication. She believed in something, though. She believed at the end the promise of God. And I just still think of that song. We call it Just a Closer Walk with Thee, but I think about she just repeated over and over and over again, we are weak, but you are strong. Do you believe that tonight? I pray that you do. God's strength is everlasting. He always has enough to give us. He had enough to give her. He's had enough to give all of those that have gone, come after her. And He had enough to give these people, these exiles right here, to say 70 years. He gave them, I love that because God was specific with them. You're going to be here 70 years, and then I'm going to recoup you and take you home and restore everything you lost. Wow, what a promise. So, you know, it's kind of an encouragement to me when I think about what heaven's going to be filled with and what's going to be available to us, to see that anything that I have here is just not even a reflection of what He's got in store for us. Amen. Oh, how encouraging that is. So we can see God's plan. God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan where we are. We can see that in that plan, He promises us things. He promises at the end, when we reach the end, He is going to be there to bring us home. Scripture teaches us that. And finally, He talks about purpose. In verse 11, I want to go back. I want to read verse 11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope." God knows His plans that He has for us. He has purposed it out. Just like He did with these people. His plans are never for evil for us. It's our perspective and our understanding of what we think evil is. But God's plans aren't evil for His people. Even if they're disciplinary. And sometimes they have to be to get our attention. To get us back. That's exactly what this was to the people of Judah. When they were taken into exile. It was a purpose. God has a purpose in mind. As a teacher, as a deacon, as a musician, as a singer, as a custodian, it doesn't matter. God's purpose is great. It is never off kilter. It is never out of sync. And God's purpose here was to use them where they were planted, and He did. Promise them their restoration, and He did. And to let them know that it was all in His purpose for their lives. And you know, I can only say it in one reason, for one reason, and that is because He loves His people. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe He loves you? He does. He does so much. He knows we're not perfect creatures. He knows that we do things. He knows that we sin. He knows that. But because of His Son Jesus, He can love us. Because Jesus died for those sins, that we can be accepted before Him. And you know, there is someone that we can be an encouragement to. There is. We just have to be attentive. Could be somebody in our own family. Could be somebody in our own church. But then again, it might be somebody we don't even know. Does it really matter? I don't think so. The fact of the matter is that God desires these things for us. His plans, His promises, and His purpose. You see, that is why I cannot accept the world's view of how we came about. Because every place we read in Scripture, God had a purpose for everything He created. Amen. Everything. And that includes you and I. And with whatever God created in that purpose, it has value. That's why we need to take care of our land the best we can. We need to not be litter bugs. We need to not just go out and destroy things. You know, talk about going out and destroy things. I don't know how many read this article. I just had it handed. It says it's from an article from Nepal. And it talks about 5,000 buffaloes killed as sacrifice ritual starts. I want to read this to you a little bit. Talk about just waste. You know, don't compare this with what Israel did, because Israel used all but what couldn't be used of every animal that was sacrificed. Okay? But here it says, in Kathmandu, a festival believed to be the largest animal sacrifice ritual in the world began Friday in southern Nepal, where devotees believe that sacrifices bring good luck and Hindu goddess will grant their wishes. In the fields outside a temple, before dawn, a priest dropped five drops of his own blood, and sacrificed a rat, chicken, pigeon, goat, and pig to start the festival. More than 5,000 buffaloes were ritually killed during the day. Many other animals will be killed during the two-day festival at Gadame Temple in the jungles of Bara, the Bara district, about 100 miles south of Kathmandu. Organizers and the authorities defend the festival, held every 5 years, as generations-old tradition through animal rights activists decry it as barbaric. During the 2009 festival, as estimated, 200,000 animals and birds were sacrificed. 200,000. Israel sacrificed a lot of animals, but they ate what was eatable. Okay? It's sad that in the name of religion we can just destroy. Now, I'm not a green tree activist or any of those kind of things either. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we should neglect taking care of humanity as we can because of a silver minnow or a spotted owl or some other creature that inhabits some place that helps take care. But don't go out and just destroy for the sake of destroying. God had a plan in His creation. He had a promise that He gave to us, a promise that He made to Adam as He was caretaker of the garden, and a promise and a purpose for His life and Eve's life, just like He does for us. Let's take care of what God's given us because it has value. But more importantly, you and I and humanity has value as He died for our sins.